Hey guys, so today you and I are going to talk about microservices. So let's get into it. So the question in question was, Frederick, in my experience, microservices architecture is extremely slow due to all the synchronization of communication. How do I read microservices lack mechanical sympathy? This is covered by the white paper scalability, but at what cost? How do I reduce that communication? Well, if we're talking about communication in terms, this is a little bit, I think I know what you mean by communication, but I'm just gonna express my assumptions here, because if we talk about communication, we can talk about basically, if we want to make it a little bit more concrete, we can talk about network communication, making calls between services, or we can more generically talk about events and the need for systems in a microservices architecture to be aware of system events. Communication could technically mean that, but I think that is a more tangible, like it's usually the term we use when we talk about this sort of problem. Assuming I understand what you mean by communication, you might mean something else, but this is usually the problem. And the thing that this usually leads to is the inconsistency problem, the cap theorem problem, where you can't keep the C in the cap theorem, because it's basically impossible to keep everything consistent in a microservices architecture, or rather it's extremely difficult. There are ways to deal with this, and I've touched on this in a few one or two videos before, but let me sort of walk you through the common ways that companies deal with this, and I'll also give you one that I'm actually very excited to. This is actually the first time I've been able to take a look at that in a production environment. It's just been a theoretical thing that I've used before, or rather I have used in production, but not at the scale that I am at this point. So first and foremost, usually when we talk about microservices communication, one of the biggest problems is the versioning problem. How do you keep everything in sync, all the APIs and so forth and so forth. I've talked about that as well. How do you, like, how you can use monorepos, or you can generate REST clients, etc., etc. But the thing that we haven't talked so much about is, all right, what are the pitfalls of using that approach? Well, the pitfalls is, they're actually very simple. The problem with having a distributed system is that if you have one service that needs to know about three or four other services, and these three or four other services are dependent on that the first service communicates something to them when something has happened. A classic one is, if a user places an order, well, how do you deal with that? Well, the naive solution is, of course, to have an order service of some sort that takes in the request and then goes to the product service, fetches the product information, goes to some type of cost calculator or something like that, calculates what is the price of all of this stuff, creates an order, and then connects to the email service and sends an email out to the user. Now, all of these things, usually people do over a synchronous HTTP network call. Well, it doesn't have to be synchronous, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about. You basically connect to all these services. Now, the problem here is, what happens if any of those calls fail? Because the problem is that you, in this case, this is just a trivial example, and in many cases it's actually more difficult than this. You are connecting to three different services in sequence, usually, to communicating different states that are taking place, or different events that take place as part of the placing of the order. If any of that fails, for any reason, you are in an inconsistent database state. And if you have hundreds and hundreds of requests happening every second, it's going to fail. Some network calls are going to fail, guaranteed. And that causes an inconsistency in the state of the database of one of these systems, which is a B word and a half to fix. This is the problem with microservices in general. It's one of the issues where I like to tell people that the conceptual thing that you can have with you when you think about microservices is that you're moving a monolithic problem, which is usually you have a lot of code, a lot of modules that connect to each other, and you're putting that in a service structure instead. But the communication and all of the calls, you can almost think of all of these synchronizations, these are the exact, if you you can shrink a microservices architecture down to a monolith, or you can expand it into a monolith into a microservices architecture, and it's the same thing. If conceptually, if you don't orchestrate it in a different way, you're still running a monolith, and I see this a lot. I actually have a very horror case where we had to redo the whole thing because they did basically create a microservices, like they just implemented a monolith as microservices, but all the calls were still happening synchronously, and they had major issues. So that brings us to the other point of this, which is that when you're dealing with microservices, the proven way, or like the favorite way of dealing with this sort of problem, is, all right, asynchronous communication or event-based communication, where instead of doing all this synchronization, you sort of accept that at any given moment you might be in a slightly inconsistent state, but you will get what we call eventual consistency. Because when you're making a direct call, you can more or less think of that as an atomic thing, where you're in one state when you start the operation, and then you're at the second state, like within, like, you know, nothing. You mean in theory you could lock all of this stuff down into an atomic operation. But that gives you that consistency guarantee as long as everything is working. But when you're doing things with an event-based system, where you might use something like Kafka, for example, or RabbitMQ, ActiveMQ, there are probably a few more queue systems, what you're basically doing is that you're simply dispatching the fact that an event has taken place. So in our little scenario here with the order, well, we might just need to say, for the sake of argument, we just need to pull the product and get the calculation, and then we can place the order. That's it, because then we can dispatch asynchronously the fact that this order has taken place, and that means that there's going to be an event now for other systems that might want to know about this, like an email or whatever systems that you don't care about anything else, because you have done all that you have need to do within the order system. Now, what's beautiful about that is that if something goes wrong for any reason, or for, let's say, that this system expands, you actually have to communicate to even more services that this thing has happened, it can be fetched from the queue that you push it to, or like that you send out the message to, which is the way that most companies solve the problem of communicating and like all of this sort of stuff. Now, the problem with that is, of course, that you can have everything from, like, you have dead letters, you can have like a poisoned cache, etc., etc. There are issues with this approach as well. And as I said, this asynchronicity adds to the issue where you might have a timing issue for certain things, where things might take a little while to update because you're not guaranteed that things happen in an atomic fashion. The way that I've found this to work really, really well is actually with an architecture where, if you use event sourcing, I actually have an old video about that where I sort of, this guy, he asked me about like this super complicated situation where using CQRS with event sourcing and Kafka and like all this stuff, and that video sort of showcases the basic idea of how to create an architecture that can work really, really well. And the idea is actually very simple, where if you use event sourcing as part of each microservice, what you're basically guaranteed is that you have an inbuilt event system practically. And if you then publish that to as a Kafka topic, basically what happens is that you are creating a situation where you can achieve, due to the inherent properties of event sourcing, a completely consistent state at any time, regardless of what system wants to know about it. You don't have to send anything off to a queue that might be overloaded, like with too many requests or things like that. You don't have to worry about something being poisoned, like some issue happening where you can't, where the communication between the queue and the consumers aren't working. Like, the consumers has to fix it, of course. So it could still be that the consumer implementation is not good, or the listener isn't working. But at the very least, you have guarantees that you can always play your state or the view. I don't want to get into exactly what event sourcing is now, but you can play the view to its most current point at any given time, and it doesn't really matter how many systems that you have. And if you apply both of these two approaches, you actually get virtually it becomes a completely atomic thing, because the event sourced, in this case the order system, is simply pushing the event as like the event sourcing events to its own database, and then you have a reading system such as Kafka or some other entity that simply pulls all of the state continuously, which means that you are always almost guaranteed to always be in a consistent state sooner or later. It's still an asynchronous operation, but at the very least it gives you a very high level of robustness, which I think is really, really nice. So what I want you to take away from this is that the way that you usually deal with communication between systems in a microservice architecture is that you have to go event-based, because it's almost impossible for you to reduce it in any other way. So rather than having a synchronous approach where you connect to multiple systems as things happen, you can't, as in my example, you cannot perform that logic without having, getting a product and getting a price calculation, unless you're going to bake that into something, into the order service, which, kind of nullifies the whole microservice thing. Well, it doesn't really nullify it, but I hope that you see what I'm saying. There's an inherent level of communication that is happening that you can't really reduce. But when it comes to synchronization between systems that are in that need to know about things, such as the email service needs to know that the order has taken place, and the other systems might as well, you can usually reduce that by simply using a queue, such as Kafka, RabbitMQ, etc., etc. My tip to you is to take a look at how to do that with an event sourcing approach, because if you do that with an event sourcing approach, you can get a lot of benefits from that, because due to the way that event sourcing works, you're basically always guaranteed to never be in an inconsistent state, because you can always recreate the state at any given moment. And the consumers themselves, they can have their own local caches, which is a very nice feature of all of this. If you're using something like Kafka, etc., etc., trust me when I say this, when you get a lot of systems that need to like generate statistics and all this sort of stuff, you really don't want to have to like implement all of that functionality or have some external system connecting to your system over and over to try to just generate like a lot of statistics. But if you have to use this approach, then any system outside of your own service can basically copy your entire database over and over, because all they really need is the events, and then they can get the state that they need for their purposes. So it becomes a self-updating caching system, basically, which is very, very nice in large systems. Have a great day.